Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 76.
Well, it be Matt, finish your glossy.
Matt,
good choice. Be ready in about a week.
So, what are we looking at here, Doc?
The worst dressed stiff I've ever seen.
This stiff and I pounded a beat together for 5 years, so show some respect.
I'm sorry, Wes. You know, I see so much of this senseless mayhem that sometimes I get a little insensitive. All right. This loser has taken the chicken shit way out and punched a round ticket.
Suicide, huh? She must have caught herself by surprise.
Get out of here, Dewey.
What are y'all doing in here?
We're smoking reefer, and you don't want no part of this shit.
You're smoking reefers?
Yeah, of course we are. Can't you smell it?
No, Sam. I can't.
Come on, Dewey. Join the party.
No, Dewey. You don't want this. Get out of here.
You know what? I don't want no hangover. I can't get no hangover.
It doesn't give you a hangover.
Well, I'll get addicted to it or something?
It's not habit forming.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I don't want to overdose on it.
You can't OD on it.
It's not going to make me want to have sex, is it?
It makes sex even better.
Sounds kind of expensive.
It's the cheapest drug there is.
Hmm.
You don't want it.
I think I kind of want it.
Okay, but just this once. Come on in.
Hello, happy holidays, and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I am your host, Eric Williams, and along with me is my good friend and co-host, Mrs. Rachel Zelag.
Hello, Clarice.
Ooh, that was sultry. In this episode, we are finalizing, I guess, our theme of spoofs. We're concluding it, I guess, is probably more accurate. In this episode, we are taking a look at Loaded Weapon 1 and Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story. Before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the shows that are over there. So, Mrs. Zelag, what are you having? Are you having anything festive for the Christmas season, or are you going with a God's beer, or what are you going with drink wise?
Well, I'm deciding to be like super classy today, so just prepare yourself. We got some cherry 7-Up. It's like Brad's favorite thing ever, and I just dumped some vodka in there.
Oh, okay. Well, we had cherry, I think it's cherry Sierra Mist or something.
Ooh, yeah.
We had some of that yesterday. We had some of a lot. We had a lot of sums yesterday.
Some of all parts.
Yeah. The mix was always vodka, but it was a lot of different stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, should we do another Red Bull? Sure, whatever. Yeah, hey, let's have a Bloody Mary. All right, yeah. Good idea. Yeah, let's keep drinking. It's 4.
Well, you gotta mix it up. You can't just, drink the same thing. You get bored.
Yeah, you gotta have the different tastes.
Yeah.
So today I am shaking it up. This is a first timer.
Grapefruit vodka.
I mean, it's sort of first time. It's vodka, yes, but it's not grapefruit. It is a Monster.
Really?
Boom. Yeah. Monster.
Do you have a cutoff on?
Monster vodka. It's the green kind. It was supposed to be for somebody else, and I said, if I could just, you can just drink this. So.
Are you wearing a cutoff shirt?
I'm not. I do have my, I have my UFC shirt in the wash, if that counts. Okay.
You don't have any, like, barbed wire tattoos around your arms or anything?
No, I've got a do-rag on, though. Does that count?
Oh, my God. If you do, please send me a picture of that right now.
If I did, I would put that on our Facebook page. Which people could find and like over at Plain Label Podcast.
Or dislike, depending.
Yeah. If there was a, ooh, no, pass. There was that on there. That'd be good. All right. So let's start off our discussion. We're going to start with my pick. It is from 1993. It is a film that I had not seen, which is always interesting when you pick a film that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
And it is called Loaded Weapon 1.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Sorry.
National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon 1. From out of the night comes two men with enough courage, enough brains.
What you got, Irv?
Dandruff, seborrhea, maybe just dry, itchy scale.
Have you tried this? I use it.
Head and shoulders?
Enough bullets.
I know what you're thinking, punk. Did he fire 173 times or 174?
To get the job done.
Hey, Scotty! Can you get this machine to work?
I'm giving her all she's got, Captain. If I push it any harder, the whole thing will blow.
New Line Cinema presents the cop movie to end all cop movies.
Give me a name. Weren't your parents supposed to do that?
Hey, Sarge. It's tingling.
That means it's working.
Do you sleep in the nude?
Only when I'm naked.
They know never to screw with me.
Wilderness girls.
Is this the big checkout? Come on, level with me.
It's not bad. You'll be fine. You'll be back on your feet in no time.
National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon 1.
So, this is Mr. Screw with your brain, eat your spleen, wear your flesh as a hairnet leecher, huh? Ah! Look who's Mr. Scaredy Pants now. Ah! I just gotta ask, what does human flesh taste like?
Chicken.
See it before they make the sequel.
An L.A. detective is murdered because she has microfilm with the recipe to make cocaine cookies. A Lethal Weapon-style cop team tries to find and stop the fiends before they can dope the nation by distributing their wares via the Wilderness Girls cookie drive.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Yeah, not so bad at all. I was expecting a lot worse.
Me too.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so Loaded Weapon. Had you seen this before?
I had not. I didn't even know it was a movie until like a week ago.
This is good. Have you seen the Lethal Weapon films at all?
I mean, like, I saw the first one-ish. Like, I couldn't tell you what happened in any of them.
Okay.
I know it's like a buddy cop thing. And,
it's the,
and,
I'm too old for this.
Yeah, and Mel Gibson has like a beautiful mullet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I know. And in one of them doesn't somebody fall down on the ice at a hockey rink. I mean, these are things that I vaguely remember.
Oh, that's specific. I'm not sure. I know that I remember Riggs and Murtaugh. I remember I'm too old for this shit. I remember the dislocating his shoulder stuff and being in a straitjacket and how he could get out of it. And they directly reference that in this.
Okay.
To where the guy's like, he bet us he could get out in 15 minutes. How long has it been? 3 days.
Oh, that's right.
You better hurry up.
Hurry up, yeah.
So I hadn't seen this at all. Probably outside of the vacation films, if I see a National Lampoon's something something, I'm like, that's probably not going to be very good.
Yeah.
So I was kind of a little apprehensive going into this. And while there are parts that had generous eye rolls, I found myself laughing quite a bit.
Okay.
I think that there are things that are funny in the way that Don't Be a Menace is funny without having to resort to being as crass as that movie is.
Yes, or dumbed down, I guess. Not really. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like such a fine line between being just completely stupid and being stupid in a way that's smart.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that...
Yeah,
I think that there are times where this really succeeds, and then I think that there are times where it's like, oh my god, this is... that's so dumb.
Well, like, so I'm not a huge fan of Emilio Estevez. I mean, if I met someone who said they were a huge fan of Emilio Estevez, I think we'd have to have a sit down.
Yeah, like, I would question your friendship if you found that out.
So, like, you know, the movie starts and they do the whole drop the smoke, dropped the cigar, dropped the pipe, and I was like, God damn it. Like, this is gonna be a shit show.
it was like Naked Gun style, right?
Yeah, but like, I mean, and I'd seen that, you know, where he's getting in the shower. That's funny. But like, I was like, oh God, this is gonna be awful. But like, I think it grew on me, like, the more the movie went on. Like, the first scene where he's like shooting, I was like, oh God, if this is, it's just gonna be Emilio S. But then like, Whoopi Goldberg shows up and like, you know, all these like, you know, 90s comedians are in this and Shatner and everything. And so like, I think like I kind of maybe had gone into it from that first scene with like a bad attitude, but then like it grew on me as the movie went on to where the end I was like, oh yeah, that was funny. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think that with, like we've said several times with both of these, there's not a lot to say about them, right? It's a matter of taste. It's a matter of experience with the films that it's making fun of.
Right.
And so I think that a lot of it is pretty funny. I think that some of it, particularly like the Hannibal Lecter stuff, or Leecher, I guess as he's called in this.
Right.
I think that that's really funny. I think that the Basic Instinct stuff.
Oh yeah, where they're all like.
With the fucking, and it says the gratuitous beaver shot.
Yeah. And then the beaver, there's just a beaver. Yeah.
There's a fucking beaver there. That just absolutely killed me when I saw that. But I thought that the, I really liked that beginning just because I thought it was so ridiculous. He's got his cheeseburger, you know, that burns and he's all pissed about. I love that he decides to buy this cheeseburger and he just so, angrily like throws it into the microwave.
Yeah, with the plastic on it.
Yeah.
Pissed off.
And the, you know, they have the shots and it's through cans of liquid that make it look like the guy's peeing on the can. And just things like that where I'm like, oh, this is so silly. And full disclosure, I was intoxicated watching this yesterday. So I was like, oh my God, this is the best. Like, oh, this is so funny. Right? I think that if it was one of those, oh, nothing's going to make me laugh sort of moods that supposedly I can get in, maybe.
I haven't heard anything.
Reportedly.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's not been substantiated, I don't think, but rumors are around
swirling. Yeah.
So I think that the mind frame that I was in and the mood that I was in helped a great deal.
Okay.
To where I don't think that it's a good, like, I wouldn't say that it's a good film, right?
Right. Well, I, you know, and we've talked about this before, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't made to be like a life-altering, you know, dramatic movie. It was just made to be ridiculous, and I was kind of in that mood when I watched it, though, that I don't really, you know, I'm not gonna laugh at this, and then by the end I was, you know, I didn't do, like, belly laughs or anything, but I was like, oh, that's funny, you know, so... Yeah.
So it's basically like when I tell jokes, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, good try. It's good. You're like, ooh, I want to, but it's just, it's not, hit me.
No, I don't.
Yeah, so I think we're in agreement. I think some of the things that I was surprised by was the amount of people that they got for this.
Yeah, that just like signed up for this shit. I agree with you.
I was like, holy shit. Like, look at all these people. I mean, you have guys like Charlie Sheen and Bruce Willis just having bit walk-on parts.
That Bruce Willis part was hilarious, by the way. Like, it was perfect.
The Lakeside address, and he's like, no, that's down the block.
Oh, no, yeah. Like,
all right, sorry.
He talks out of nowhere. You're like, what the fuck is Bruce Willis doing?
Yeah. So that's good. I think that, you know, having, it was nice to see Dennis Leary in here when Dennis Leary started becoming a thing.
Yep.
And he's got his, what the fuck is that guy's name? The Addicted to Love guy. Robert Plant.
Oh, yeah.
He's got his women, which one of those women in red was Denise Richards.
I didn't even notice.
From Wild Things fame.
Or just from being Denise Richards.
From marrying Charlie Sheen's.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of it. I was like, oh, really? Wow. I was shocked and appalled that whoever put Kathy Ireland on screen did not do something about the eyebrow situation.
Yeah, but she's always had those eyebrows.
I just so completely forgot about them because I watched them and was like, what is this?
Have you ever seen the Family Guy where he falls in love with the Kathy Ireland cutout?
No.
She has those eyebrows in that too.
I guess I remember her from like Unnecessary Roughness and Sports Illustrated covers.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that you weren't looking at her eyebrows.
I guess not, but I was looking at them this time around and I was like, holy grizzly bear, like what is going on there?
Yeah, I guess I didn't notice, like, that didn't really affect me.
Well, they were intense, is what I'm telling you.
they must have been camping, because they were intense, let me tell you.
That's right. So what, give me a rundown of some of the things that you liked and some of the things that you didn't like with this one, Cruz.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't really have a lot of specifics. I thought it was funny when he's shooting her, he shoots her at the beginning and then she's like, wait, come back. And then he like says, thank you. And then he shoots her again. And she's like,
right. Is it this one or this one?
Yeah. And then every time she gets shot, she just goes, oh, like that instead of like crying and screaming like a baby child, which I would have been. Like I said, I mean, a lot of stuff with, I was like high and cold with Emilio Estevez, which I, like almost regret saying those sentences out of my mouth, but like at times I thought it was funny and at times I thought it was just like, let's get through this scene so I can go home and go to my trailer or whatever. But
I thought he was really funny. Like I've never have been a fan of the Mighty Ducks series, but okay. I think that he's good in Breakfast Club, and other than that, like, I don't know that, and I think that, I mean, for me, I grew up watching Young Guns 2.
Like, that
was just the age group that I was in. So I thought that he was good enough in that. And so watching him be ridiculous and basically just doing a bad Mel Gibson impersonation, that really worked for me.
And most of the time it did too. Most mm-hmm. of what he did, I was like, okay, you know, like what he's doing, some of the facial expressions, et cetera. So
yeah, like I really liked a scene in particular where he was, the woman was talking to him and saying, basically about how he wasn't going to do anything to her, and he pulls up a gun and puts it right in her face, and then his own hand like puts it down. And then his arm goes back up to her face again.
Yes. See, that was funny.
Those things like that, I was like, oh my God, like that's so dumb and that's so funny. And but that really made me laugh. And it just made me think of the ridiculous, over the top sort of fake intensity that films like Lethal Weapon had.
Yeah.
In the late 80s or early 90s.
They really honed in on that here. Like the music and like
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole situation. I thought it would be, how would you like to be cast as, you know, like the girl who had her hair up and then you put your hair down and you're Kathy Ireland?
Yeah, that was funny. I think, I like when he goes into the room and you see like these legs and the short skirt and he's like, oh, hey, you're such and such from fifth grade. It can't be or whatever. And she's like, no, I'm not. And he says, you know, he's like, you're the bucktooth freckled girl with pigtails.
Oh, yeah, no, and she, yeah.
She's like, no, I'm not. And then she walks away, and Sam Jackson is just staring at her, giving the goofiest look. He's just giving her this, like, bucktooth look and kind of, like, googly eyes, like the side of her face. And I rewound it and showed it to Annelle, and she's like, oh, my God. She's like, how many takes do you think that took before they didn't laugh while he was doing that? I was like, well, she probably didn't have any idea what he was doing. So it's stuff like that I think was really funny. You know, we haven't mentioned that Sam Jackson, pre like superstar, I would imagine Sam Jackson. You know, what did you think of him in this film playing, you know, a decidedly comedic role?
I was just fine with it. Mm-hmm. I think he did. You know, he did a good job with what he had to work with. But, like, I've always thought of him as somewhat, like, he's hard for me to take seriously, even in a serious role. And so, like, I thought this fit pretty well, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, outside, I mean, I guess he essentially debuted in the late 80s. I mean, he was in Coming to America. He's the guy that holds up the McDowells. You know?
Gotcha.
But he was really sort of, came out as a major player in 89 with Do the Right Thing. But he was in some things in the early 90s, but not really anything huge as I'm looking at it. I mean, he was in Juice, and that was one of the, spoofs from, Don't Be a Menace.
I didn't get that.
And so he was in this, and then he was also in Menace to Society.
Okay.
But he, you know, did Loaded Weapon in 93, and then he was in Jurassic Park in 93, he was in True Romance, and then he was in Pulp Fiction in 94.
He was just the cigar chewer in Jurassic Park, right? Yeah,
hold on to your butts. He was that guy.
Hold on to your butts.
Yeah, right. And I mean, after that, then he went and did Die Hard and The Great White Hype and A Time to Kill and The Long Kiss Goodnight, and he kind of, you know, was Sam Jackson after that.
That's right.
So this is kind of really early on, and it's where, you know, Emilio, this was, this is like his last grasp, I feel like, as to being like a big deal, because he was more of an 80s guy.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and so he, I mean, for him, he did Young Guns in 88, and then Young Guns 2 and Mighty Ducks. Yeah, those are all right before this film. He did Mighty Ducks in 92 and then this movie right after it. So yeah, he's in late 80s to very early 90s, and then after that it's just poop.
So. I mean, he's still alive, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's still alive.
I haven't heard of him like OD.
Well, he was only born in 62, so he's not that
old. I didn't think he was like old. I just thought, you know, like sometimes you're famous when you're young, and then you.
Oh, sure. I'm sure that he's, you know, done his bit of drugs.
Sure.
You know, him and Charlie, I'm sure, have got into some trouble together.
Family Christmas or whatnot.
Yeah. Him, Marty, and Charlie all together. I'm sure that there's some bad stuff that's happened. But yeah, he actually will be, he's 52 is all.
Okay.
So he's not that old. I mean, he probably has some. I know that he was in Bobby, and that was sort of his.
Right.
That was like his quest to kind of break out as a big time Hollywood director, and I don't know that really panned out. He also did The Way in 2010. He directed, but I don't know anything about that really.
No. So. It sounds like a direction.
Yeah. So I thought that I thought it was good. Like I said, I really liked the beaver shot. I thought that was very funny. I liked that how they teased that. And she kept spinning around in her chair.
Yeah.
Let's see. I thought that the hotel, when they kept going to the wrong floor and they had all these different, cases that were going on, like the chips guys were on one floor.
Oh, yeah.
They told a guy to freeze, and they told him just basically to walk slower or whatever on the next floor, and then their floor was on the next one, and just sort of that sort of stuff was dumb, but it made me laugh. And I really liked the breastfeeding discussion where Sam Jackson talks about how he used to be breastfed until he was 16 or something like that. And, so it's just stuff like that. Like, I thought that there was a lot of funny lines in here. It's not a film that, you know, a lot of these we talk about how, oh, well, you can just put it on in the background. I don't know that I liked it enough just to throw it on in, like, a rotation or with regularity.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I haven't seen Hot Shots or Hot Shots Part 2 recently enough to know what I think of those in comparison to this, but I put them all sort of in the same ballpark.
Yeah, I would say that too. Like, that's kind of what I was, like, the vibe I was getting was like a Hot Shots vibe, where like, you know, they're doing a supposedly serious scene, but there's so much goofiness going on, you know, and like, that's kind of what their forte was. So Yeah, that was kind of in the back of my mind when I was watching this.
Yeah, it's very much like that. You know, what's weird is you have Tori Tellum and Don Holly who are responsible for the story. And Don Holly also did the screenplay along with the director, Gene Quintano. And the writers didn't do anything else. That's the only thing that's listed.
Are you serious?
Their screenplay. So it's strange to me. And then the director, this is the last film that he directed. He did a TV movie outside of this. But that was it. And then he wrote some of the Police Academy sequels.
Weird.
Yeah, before this, I guess. And he did Operation Dumbo Drop. So I don't know. It's just kind of a strange...
I'd want to be thrown around, you know what I'm saying?
It's just kind of a strange group, you know, and I do like that it's called Loaded Weapon 1 because there were sequels that were planned, but it didn't do well enough, so it just... That's it. There's not a sequel to it.
Right, I really liked the one in there, too.
Yeah, it just is funny to me, you know, in franchise films like this that is making fun of, there's, you know, five or whatever. And,
right.
And I don't, I guess I can see where they would anticipate having more than one movie, but I think that they probably used up all their jokes in this one. You know, I think that's what it amounts to.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, do you have anything else about that one? Or are you ready to move on?
No, like I said, it kind of grew on me toward the end, and it wasn't, I don't regret watching it like I do Old Boy, so.
Oh, smart. There it is. Take a drink. So let's move on all the way up to 2007, and this is Rachel's pick, and it is Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story.
Mr. Cox? Mr. Cox? Guys, I need Cox. Mr. Cox.
Give him a minute, son. Dewey Cox needs to think about his entire life before he plays.
Today's gonna be the best day ever.
Yeah, yeah. Ain't nothing horrible gonna happen today. Let's go play machete fight.
The wrong kid died.
Ain't no 6-year-old boy and understand the true meaning of the blues.
I reckon I might.
In the next 15 seconds when you sing, you're gonna have to sing from your heart and it's gonna be personal. The only way you're gonna do that is to sing something that's so new, so heartfelt that it changes the whole course of American music in one deft stroke.
And the whole world stands up in confederacy to know us.
Hi, my name's Dewey Cox, and this is a little song I wrote called Take My Hand. I sure hope you like it.
Take my hand. We're gonna walk to the park.
It's the devil's music!
I promise to beg you.
Ain't got no room in my house for no devil spawn.
How?
The wrong kid died.
See that, Mama? That was just unnecessary.
You have got to give up this dream. You're never gonna make it.
And maybe you don't believe in me after all.
I do believe in you. I just know you're gonna fail.
I heard you were looking for a new backup singer, Darlene Madison.
In my dreams, you're blowing me some kisses.
That's one of my favorite things to do.
This Oscar season.
It ain't easy to walk to the top of a mountain. It's a long, hard walk.
But I will walk hard. One movie.
Walk hard.
Will be so much better.
The 1960s are an exciting and important time.
And more important.
What about you, John Lennon?
With meditation, there's no limit to what we can imagine.
Than any other movie.
I ain't good enough to follow Elvis.
There's two things you need to know. I'm the king. And number two is look out, man. You see how close I came to your head? I could chop a man in half.
I've been scorned and slandered and ridiculed too.
Hey, Dave, I like your girl better. Let's switch.
Dewey, this is my wife.
Did you hear me? I said I want that one. Come on, sweetheart.
But, yeah.
Medicine's got a dream and a burning.
What
What the hell doing?
I'm in a dark period.
I'm Zeus!
The face and I walked as hard as I could. Walk hard.
Dad, I was just wondering if you want to have a catch.
Son, this might sound a little strange, but what is your name again? Are you Danny? Douglas?
Walk hard!
I have a problem! I have a very addictive personality!
Walk hard!
The Up and Down and Up Again story of musician Dewey Cox, whose songs would change a nation. Okay? On his rock and roll spiral, Cox sleeps with 411 women, marries three times, has 36 kids, stars in his own 70s TV show, collects friends ranging from Elvis to the Beatles to a chimp, and gets addicted to and then kicks every drug known to man. But despite it all, Cox grows into a national icon and eventually earns the love of a good woman, longtime backup singer Darlene.
All right, so this is Walk Hard. This is Rachel's pick. This is a film that I had never seen. Also, it's not often that we do a show where I hadn't seen either one of the movies.
I know, you smart bastard.
Yeah, I know, really. So so what is it that that made you pick Walk Hard?
I really liked Walk the Line.
Okay.
And
you are sure at this moment that Walk the Line is the film that you own, not Walk Hard, right?
Yes, because I just reorganized my DVDs this weekend.
Ooh, jealous.
I know.
That's a good, like, 3-hour project right there.
I know, right? Alphabetical order. It looks sexy.
Got to. Let me ask you this. What do you do with the the's and the a's?
I ignore them.
Smart.
Yep.
That's exactly right, everyone.
That's
how you do it. Ignore a's and an's and the's.
Yep. And just go straight to the actual real word that it starts with.
So there you go. That was impromptu. That was nice. All right. So you like Walk the Line quite a bit. And you own that one. And so this is a spoof on that. So did you go to the movies to see this? Did you see it on DVD? How did you find this one?
I want to say that we went and saw it.
I could see where you would.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I did, just because, like, is this before or after Step Brothers?
07? I would think that this is after, but let me check. Step Brothers was 2008.
Oh, really? So yeah. I had to have seen him in something, though, John C. Reilly, before this. So anyway,
he was in Talladega Nights in 2006. That was the year before.
Okay. I remember going, oh, that's Will Ferrell's friend. He's in the movie now. I'm pretty sure that we went to the theater and saw it. And, I just like all the singing, of course. You know, that's a musical, sure. And I kind of like, how it spans, you know, cause like with Walk the Line, it was obviously like, you know, Johnny Cash's music, but like this spans, like they're doing like, you know, parodies of like 50s to like 80s music. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like that part too. It's obviously really silly, but you know, they have a lot of people in here too. And Tim Meadows is hilarious to me. And,
yes.
So I like on the rewatch, I was still not regretting my choice. So
the old ringing endorsement of, I was not regretting that I picked this. Okay, so this was the first time that I watched this. I went to the theater and saw Walk the Line, and I didn't get it. Right?
I didn't get it.
I was like, okay, well, he's clearly going to, like, all of this stuff in the middle where he's down and out, it's like, well, I don't give a shit because I know he's going to be fine.
Right, he didn't die.
Yeah, because I know who it is, right?
Yeah.
So that's sort of the problem that I have with the sort of formula of these biopics, whether it's Ray or, you know, Walk the Line or whatever. It's the same formula. So it's like, okay, well, I get that they're not trying to put like a puzzle out there that you have to piece together. I mean, they're just doing a very specific telling of one person's journey.
Sure.
And that's fine. And so when I saw that this was coming out, I immediately went eye roll and was like, I'm not going to see that movie. Even though, you know, I think John C. Reilly's funny, I have still yet to finish all of Step Brothers.
Because what?
I think that what part of the problem is I like improv, but when it's just unwieldy improv and there's no sort of set like boundaries and people are just spitballing all the time.
Yeah.
It sort of grates on me in a movie.
Yeah, when they're just like, okay, this is a scene, and just talk.
Just go.
Yeah.
And as soon as you find something, then we'll cut.
Can I tell you a quick, not have anything to do with Dewey Cox story?
Yes.
I just learned that, and you probably know this because you're Eric, that, speaking of improv, John Candy.
Yes.
In Home Alone, he made up that story about leaving his kid at the funeral home on the spot when they're in the van, and he's like telling
when she's trying to get home.
Yeah, and he's like, "Oh, don't feel bad. One time we left our kid at a funeral home," and he just like keeps going. That was like all improv. And really? So I watched that the other day, and it made me laugh even harder knowing that he just made that shit up.
I had no idea.
Right. It could be a lie. I mean, I read on the internet, but
internet says a lie.
Right.
That was, you just dropping knowledge on me there.
I know.
It's good. I like that. Yeah, so I guess I have problems with the biopic genre. I had problems with the sort of overly silly John C. Reilly in the past. Because I didn't see this in theater, obviously. I saw it, about 3 hours ago or 2 hours ago. So, I don't know, like, I think that John C. Reilly is good in small doses for me a lot. Like, when he's in smaller roles, I'm like, oh, God, that guy's really good. Like, even in Chicago, when he's in Chicago, I think he's really good.
Yeah.
And so I sort of had the humph kind of mentality going into this, right?
I'm not gonna like this.
You won't make me laugh.
No.
Son of a bitch. Ow. But as soon as it has the two brothers and they're building up to the one brother's death.
Yeah.
before Dewey's even really introduced as a teen and then as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Both played by John C. Reilly, which is
right. Like going, you're a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah. I'm 12 and I'm, you know, whatever the bridesmaid's girl says.
Kristen Wiig.
Yeah. So I think that it won me over that soon.
Oh, nice.
Is what
when they're like, saying. When they're like,
he's horseback like, riding.
And the bowl and like.
He's got the bowl. They're doing all this welding with hay around.
Welding. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And
playing with machetes.
And he's like, yeah, cause when he says, he's got a bad case of someone being cut in half.
Yeah, this is the worst case I've ever seen of someone being cut in half. Give it to a straight doc. We're not
yeah. Already says, I'm cut in half pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah, no fucking shit.
Oh. That sort of thing really made me laugh.
Yeah. They did a lot of very, it was like funny because it was so blatant humor. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, I get a lot of that, and I think a lot of that is funny from living with Roger for a year. Because that's his sort of humor.
Really?
To where it's not anything like super clever, it's just ridiculous and obvious.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can't believe that someone would be making a joke of this. This super obvious thing sitting straight in front of me. And it's all in the delivery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, you and I know about the abs joke that Roger was telling. And,
that's not a joke.
And just the way that he is.
Yes.
Just as a, he's just a funny guy, but so that's sort of what endeared me to this film was just the way that Reilly was playing this character and the way that they had, the way that the screenplay worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love I think that the mother is very good also.
Yeah, she always, I feel like she always plays like country mom.
Yes, she's got a case of the vertigo, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that it's Margot Martindale is her name, and she plays Ma Cox. But I think that she's very good, and I think that I particularly really liked the scene where she's like, "You gone smell blind, son."
Oh my god. <That's> that. Like, it's so, like, that's just the thing that happens. Like, mm-hmm. Oh no. Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that's really funny. And then, of course, we get the more National Lampoon type things that happen, like when he goes to listen to the blues for the first time.
Yes.
And then he goes and sings the blues.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that was really funny. About, you know, about cutting up his brother.
Don't cut my brother.
Yeah. And so, you know, and for the most part, you know, I'm going along and laughing at parts and enjoying it, and also thinking like, oh man, why is this almost an hour and 40 minutes at the same time, right? Like, this seems like this has got a long ways to go.
It's an epic adventure.
Yeah, it's like it seems like it's got a long way to go to still be funny, is what I was kind of thinking. Like, I felt like it was going to wear out its welcome after a while. And we have, you know, some of the parts that I also really enjoyed was when he has to follow Elvis.
Yeah.
And he gets to meet Elvis, and Elvis is talking about there's only two people in the world that know karate. It's the Chinese and the king. And
look at me.
And I think that guy that plays Elvis is fucking hilarious.
It's Jack White.
Is that really Jack White?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Wow, that makes me like that even more.
I know, like, I was just thinking that when I was watching it. I was like, why is he not in more movies?
Are you shitting me? Holy shit, that is him. Wow. I should have looked that up before. That is really, that's really good. Like, good on him. That was really
helpful. I know, yeah. I thought that too. Like, rewatching it, I was like, nice.
Jeez. Goodness. Yeah, so I think that that's good. I like that it's a little bit like, Loaded Weapon in the amount of people that it got for the
Oh yeah, like a bunch of SNL alums and like just people, yeah, like random funny people.
Yeah, I mean, because you have playing the Beatles. I mean, you have
Paul. Yeah. Bud. Did you think that part was funny? Oh man, I like them. That with all the four of the Beatles.
Yeah, the Beatles. That was I liked that. I liked how they had the animated bit in there for a while.
Of course.
You know, and I like that they had actual singers where they had Lyle Lovett and Jewel and, you know, just
Eddie Vedder
was in there. Yeah. You know, and I'm a big fan, at least until probably like the last season or two of The Office.
Yes.
And so I liked seeing Jenna Fischer in there being able to be funny and not be Pam.
Wasn't this Office wheelhouse time though?
Yeah, 2007. This is in the middle of The Office, I would think.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think that I thought that she did a good job, even though, you know, it's kind of unfortunate. It's like every time that anyone is like, if it's a female actress and she's attractive, she's got to be like some sort of sexual thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, she can't just be like a person. It's got to be like all sexual based.
Well, especially in a movie like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, I don't know, like, I think that she's fine. It just made me think of, like, God, why is it that every time you see someone, you're like, oh, hey, this person is from this other show, she's going to be like, oh, you know, like, sleeping on top of him or whatever. And I did think that when they're doing the, they're about to kiss each other and then one of them pulls back.
Yes, oh my God.
I did think that was very funny, and then after a while, very, like, really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, they're doing this too long, which was the point in which made me laugh after a while.
It kind of came back around.
Yeah, it definitely did. I was like, no, this is too much. Oh, okay, yeah, now it's funny again. Which is very, very Office-like. It was like, you know, that uncomfortable humor.
Yes.
So I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm going on and on and on. What else, what were some of the scenes that you liked, or what were the things that, you didn't quite appreciate or anything like that on this time around?
I mean, like, once he got to the 70s, I was kind of over it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the joke is played by then, right?
Yeah.
You're like, okay. Right.
And I get it, because they're like, you know, they're spanning, you know, decades, and they're playing into what was popular for music at the time, you know, like a 70s variety show was like the thing to do, and so that's what they did. But like, I was like, oh, cool, we're in that era now. But then I was like, okay, well, like let's get to the end part, you know? Yeah. So, but that was okay. I mean, it wasn't like horrible, but like Tim Meadows, when he comes in and he's like, Dewey, you don't want none of this. And then like, he just keeps like building. And like we talked about the obvious humor where he's like, yeah,
no, it's not addictive.
This, which would be your obvious next step. Like just stuff like that.
Yeah. The drug stuff is very good. Like, I think that's very funny with the, no, it's not addictive. It's the cheapest drug there is.
I don't want to be hungover. You don't get hungover from this. Like,
that's good. And then he does the same. He does, you know, a play on that when he's talking about the cocaine and yeah, the LSD and yeah.
Yeah, I like the same thread jokes all the way through. I like
yeah.
Those. And I liked. See, I love Kristen Wiig, and so like, this was before I even knew who she was the mm-hmm. first time I had seen this. So I came back and it's just so funny to see her, like in this, because like you know how like every actor, like no matter what, has like tendencies. And so, like, those were kind of coming through. And I thought that was funny. But when she keeps saying, like, I just know you're going to fail. And, like, she's on the phone with him. And she's like, okay, I love you. You're going to fail. Bye. Like, yeah. She just keeps throwing that in. Like, I thought that was funny, too.
Yep, you're going to fail. Die. The one of the other jokes that keeps going is the wrong kid died.
Oh, yeah. And, like, just the massive amount of children that she is having.
Yes. Yeah, that's really funny when he's playing catch.
Yeah.
And he's like, you sure you're mine?
And they're all like some weird subset of Dewey. Like, the names are like Dewdrop or Dewey or, you know, just like ridiculous.
Yeah. It is pretty ridiculous. I mean, holy shit. It is a ridiculous movie.
Like, and then one more where he's in rehab and the doctor, they're like, doctor, we need more blankets. Doctor, we need less blankets. And then he's like, I'm hot and I'm cold. We need more blankets and at the same time, less blankets. I thought that was
funny. Yeah, that's good. That's good. The guy that directed this is Jake Kasdan, and he did, after this movie, he did Bad Teacher.
Oh, that makes sense.
And then he did Sex Tape also with Cameron Diaz.
Can't believe that's a movie. I
mean, yeah, and his the film before this one, I mean, he did a film called The TV Set, which I'm unaware of, but before that he did Orange County with Jack Black.
Oh, sure.
So I mean, he's definitely a comedic director, so, you know, I mean,
besides Sex Tape.
Yeah, I don't know what, I don't even, I saw that was a thing and I was like, you gotta be shitting me, like this is, I'm not even going to bother.
Right. And then we were running through Redbox movies and Brad just said it out loud and I was like, don't even, no, don't.
Oh, I was going to say, you have yet to see it, I'm hoping.
Yeah, no, I won't ever. Unless someone like Clockwork Oranges me or something.
Clockwork Orange, which is soon to be a Plain Label podcast episode coming out soon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's a fucked up movie.
It's a fucked up movie.
Really good though. Pretty interesting. There's a little bit more maybe to discuss in a film like that than a film like these two, though.
What are you talking about?
Just a little bit.
This is an epic journey of Dewey Cox.
There's a little bit of social commentary. There's a little bit of, you know, the whole Stanley Kubrick of it all compared to these two maestros that helmed these two films.
With a little bit of Cockney accents.
Yeah. It's a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have to read that in high school?
No.
Me neither. I'm debating on whether that's something that I should educate the masses with, or if I would get in trouble by doing that.
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to read it yourself first. We read Amy Tan, Kitchen God's Wife, which was one of my favorite books.
Hey, you know what? I think when we hung out last, Amy Tang, Kitchen God's Wife, I think that was maybe brought up like 20 to 25 times.
Did I say it in a good accent?
It was like Kitchen God's Wife. It was like that.
I'll have to ask Taryn how to do it. Anyway.
Yeah, it's good, though. I feel like you maybe enjoy that book.
I like it a lot. Oh, well, I did in high school. You know what? I'd probably read it now and be like, what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah, I wonder what it was. What was it that brought that up for you, though?
I don't know.
I don't know, because I feel like...
Oh, a psychiatrist?
Well, I feel like once we got there and we started pairing up and discussing stuff, it was Kitchen God's Wife.
Because we were in the kitchen.
Let's talk about it. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, but lay it on me. That's sort of what it felt like.
Well, I appreciate that.
So, anything else about Dewey Cox and this film known as Walk Hard?
Unless I say it tastes like Cox.
There's that. There's the you'll always be the black Cox. And when they're on the trampoline.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
There's a lot of little funny one-liners. This seems like almost more of a film that was more enjoyable to work on than to watch.
Probably.
It's kind of what I think, because you're looking at probably like, you know, a full month to maybe 45 days of filming. I mean, depending on schedules and whatnot. But then you have all of the editing, you have just picking out whatever takes you like, and then you have the premieres and reuniting the cast. It just seems like this would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Going through the whole process. When you're watching it, you're about, what, 30, 40 minutes in, and you're like, okay, I got it. I get it. It's clever. There's funny parts, but I get it. You know, and that's the same thing with Loaded Weapon 2. Loaded Weapon 1. Also. I think that it's really hard in a spoof to make a film that has a substantial amount of minutes to it and keep an audience. I think that's tough. So I think that you either need to spoof like a wide range, because this is so specific to where it's Walk the Line and a little bit of Ray, right?
Sure.
So I think Loaded Weapon has a little bit more of like they just have a genre basically that they can make
like action and cop movies from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. And so I think that they have a little bit more range to be ridiculous, to where here I was like, okay, well, it's just going to be following this exact same thing, and oh, I get it, it's going to be ridiculous, and yes, of course, he's going to be sleeping with like everyone, and so I think
he did get a monkey.
He got the monkey, he had a giraffe. Those were all unexpected. So I think that while they're like, I think I liked Walk Hard more.
Yeah.
But I think that Loaded Weapon had more jokes to make about more things, I guess, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, I don't think that there's a rating tier for spoof.
Yeah.
Because why would there be? But I feel like for some reason that the writing in the Dewey Cox story was like better than the writing in Loaded Weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Because Loaded Weapon to me felt more like, you know, kind of down where they were.
Don't
just
be a menace.
Yeah, in that level. And I would not ever compare anything to Mel Brooks but Mel Brooks, but this was a little bit higher than that, I feel like.
Sure. I think, I mean, it's Mel Brooks is at the top, and then it's the Zucker brothers that did Airplane and the Naked Gun series and those films. Mm-hmm. And then it's everybody else.
Right.
And so while I think that, well, I don't know. I mean, I really liked We Came Together, or They Came Together.
That to me might be above the Zucker brothers.
Yeah, I think of these that we watched, I still think that that's my favorite, because that one had me pausing and laughing and replaying and just couldn't believe how hard I was.
Just loving every bit of it. Yeah. I just love that's a movie.
Yeah, I mean, and it's so crazy that didn't get a theatrical release, that, you know, hardly no one saw it, that people aren't even aware that it's a thing. And it's got Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler and, you know, people that have a little bit of substance in Hollywood, and it's just completely disappeared.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they should re-release it, and I will do whatever I can to campaign to get people to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was funny because it was a little bit of a wildfire that was spreading, because we had a couple of people that listened to the episode that we did and then watched it, and then I saw them tweeting about how funny it was, and I was like, oh yes, people, check this out, please.
Everybody!
Oh my god.
And they tell two friends, and they tell two friends.
That's right. And that's kind of as far as it went. Like, there was no, like, grand, like, oh, everyone now recognizes this as being very funny.
Well,
but
it is just us.
The moment of glory was short-lived, but it was pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think of this genre in general? Because I guess for me, I'll go ahead and ask you a question and then interrupt you, because that's okay. What I like to do. But
I'm going to leave you so I can start talking and then yeah. Whatever you say.
Just wait till I start teaching. It's like, hey, what do you think about this? Let me tell you what I think.
Let me tell you what you should think about this.
Let me tell you the right answer. And then you regurgitate that to me.
Oh my god.
You get an A.
In a higher voice, and you win.
Yeah. Hopefully. I don't know. Some of those girls, softball players. So, I think that I enjoy the spoof genre in general. I think that there are not a lot of times where I will seek out comedies, because I think a lot of them are incredibly dumb in a bad way.
Yes.
However, I think that the ones that we've picked, I don't know that I've went through one going, oh God, I can't wait for this to end. Can't believe we fucking picked this. Yeah. But that being said, I am satisfied with the amount of movies that we've watched, and I'm ready to move on to the next theme.
That's pretty legit. I'm going to concur.
It's like, okay, especially, you know, with seeing with the weeks around this time of year and with prepping for the spring and all the teaching and all that, there's not a lot of movies that I'm watching. And so a lot of them are movies for shows. And so the majority of them have been spoofs. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm getting the same sort of jokes over and over and over.
Sure.
So you concur, you've sort of had your fill, but it's not been it's not like when we did the bombs.
Oh my god. Oh, I feel like that literally depressed my life for like a month. Like, I think I walked around like slumped over like, oh, ho hum.
Yeah, they're like, hey Rachel, it's a great day of whatever.
No. But like, we've always enjoyed spoofs, like in our family, and like I like the idea of poking fun at a movie or a genre in a nice way, you know. And so I always think, you know, like, I always like to see stuff like this. And yeah, I no regrets on the movie picks, but yeah, I think that I'm ready to talk about a movie again that has, you know, has something more to talk about than just what was funny, what was not funny. And yeah,
a little substance to it.
Yeah. Yeah. A little meat and taters.
Yeah. And see, I do get the advantage of trying to, you know, build up the Podshot shows in advance and then release them and not have to do any work for a while.
Yeah.
And so I've been alternating a bit between these and something like A Clockwork Orange, like I mentioned earlier, which will probably come out in late February or so. So, I, you know, that's been kind of a nice little palate cleanser in a way.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so I can go back to it and be like, oh my God, this is so stupid, but look, it's pretty funny. But yeah, when I watch them close, like these I watched, you know, in consecutive days and was like, oh geez, Louise.
Feel like you wasted your life a little.
It's like, I get it, fellas. Movies are dumb. Let's make fun of all of them.
You know? Yeah, I'm like, shit, I'm gonna go finish my book now. Like, I need to go feel smart for a while.
Right. I'm gonna go back and do that reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's nice that you, it's funny that you mentioned your family, Cruz.
Why?
Because we'll have a family member of yours on our next episode. Yeah, believe it or not. So what I'm getting to, Cruiser, is we're wrapping this one up. Do you have anything else to say before we conclude?
That I'm just going to walk hard. That's all I know.
That's a smart move. If anyone that I knew, if I had to guess who I know that would walk hard, it would be Mrs. Rachel Zealand.
I'm going to walk hard.
That's right. So if you have any comments for the show, maybe about spoofs or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, you could email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You could follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod, where you could follow me. I'm @ericwilliams79 and Rachel is @ladyzlag. We also have a Facebook page where you could like the show. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. And if you wanted to help us out a little bit, you could head over to our Amazon. You could head over to amazon.com and search for our wish list. It's full of the movies we want, the equipment that we need, and a whole host of other goodies over there. If you're in the giving mood, just search for the wish list that's called Plain Label Podcast. And we did add a Mel Brooks special over there, which was a collection of almost all of the Mel Brooks films that he has done in Blu-ray in one big package. And it was on sale for like $25. Which is a pretty good deal. So if people wanted to help us out, they could go over there as of recording. It may still be on sale. And buy that for us, yeah.
Yeah, right now.
That'd be sweet. I think maybe I'll put a quantity 2 on there just in case they, you know, a battle to the death isn't warranted.
Oh my God.
But we'll see.
No, I mean, I think that should be like something that happens.
Yeah, we could probably put out a video podcast for that episode.
Yeah, death battle. We'll get the machetes out, see what happens.
We could have Brad and Nell in the background going, da 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 da, like a cable guy. Da 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 da, like that. It'd be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with our new theme of movies we missed.
That ain't bad. I done a bad thing, cut my brother in half. I done a bad thing, cut my brother in half. Mama's gonna cry somewhere the devil's having a laugh.